Kann eine Karriere neugierig sein? Komm zu EY und erlebe es selbst. Arbeite an spannenden Projekten, gestalte die Wirtschaft von morgen und entwickle dich auch selbst weiter. Im Team Assurance, Tax, Consulting oder EY Parthenon, Strategy and Transactions. Shape your future with confidence. Jetzt bewerben auf jobsgermany.ey.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Each year, my father and I, we go on an annual spelunking adventure. For those of you who don't know, spelunking is a hobby of exploring caves. Oftentimes, you are down in a dark, dank, narrow passageway, pressed firmly against the suffocating rock wall, squirming millimeters just to get an opening. But once you reach that opening, you can find wonders down in these caves. Giant stalagmites and beautiful minerals. The best we had found was preserved human bones dating back thousands of years, solidified into the rock during our cave trip in Iceland. While my father and I had explored hundreds of caves, there is one cave I'm most fearful of. This cave system is located in upstate New York, only known to the local caving club who has since shut it down after various deaths. This caving system is known as the Passage, a name that was given to it when it was first discovered in the 80s. It has not been fully mapped, and many areas are inaccessible. I barely escaped the passage during the fall of 2019. My father was not as lucky as I was. My father and I had contacted a local caving club in a desolate upstate New York town. My father and I drove over 5 hours to reach this town, where the caving club met every Thursday to plan their weekend caving trips. My father contacted them earlier in the week, asking if we could join them on their next expedition. They agreed for us to join them in their next meeting, where we would be fully prepared to explore one of the oldest and longest caving systems in the state. Eagerly, my dad and I waited all week before making the drive. More research online. We weren't able to find out much about the caves or anything about this small town. Most we got was a B-list movie celebrity grew up here, but nothing more. Thursday morning hit, and in the early hours, we packed our bags and made the drive. The drive upstate during the fall was beautiful, the leaves changing to vibrant oranges and yellows. A cool breeze was sweeping in. I nervously tapped my finger on a caving helmet the whole time, something I did before every new cave. Shot me his soft smile and told me to relax. It was the same smile that he gave me on my first caving trip at 10 years old, the start of my new hobby. As a child, I suffered from claustrophobia, an intense fear of tight and crowded places. Dad, always the caring one, wanted to help me. What better way to get over the fear of a crowded place than to deliberately crawl into a narrow and dark passageway? Well, during that summer trip to my first cave, the panic really set in. Dad disappeared into a seemingly impossibly tight passageway on the floor, slipping into the darkness. I heard his voice echo from within the passage, calling for me. I stood alone in a dark cave, hearing the dripping of water and scurrying of spiders around me. I shakily crawled up to the mouth of the passage, feeling the dry lump in my throat bulging out. I pressed my face against the muddy ground and shimmied into the passage. I couldn't move my head, stuck facing the right wall. My arms were pinned ahead of me, dragging me only millimeters ahead. I shrieked, feeling the weight of the rock pin me down, unable to move. Dad heard my wails. He was further ahead. I squirmed and screamed for help, unable to move ahead. What felt like an eternity, Dad finally returned. I saw his muddy face up ahead, his arms reaching out for mine. "Calm down, bud. It's going to be okay," shooting me his warmest smile. Dad had big brown eyes and a lot of personality. Even down hundreds of feet, pinned to the earth in the most claustrophobic setting, Dad made me feel calm. He grabbed my arm and helped me squirm my way through this narrow passage. Eventually, we emerged into a large cavernous room. Fully able to stand, feeling a cool breeze blow through. Dad turned on some lanterns and lit the room up, exposing bright coloured minerals on the walls. It was truly beautiful, and after that trip, my claustrophobia was swept away. Dad and I pushed ourselves on our annual trips, crawling deeper into narrower, seemingly impossible cracks and turns to meet the wonders down below. As we passed the fiery reds and yellow leaves around us, I thought back on that first trip. Seeing Dad age since then has been the hardest thing, knowing he won't be around forever, cherishing the moments we had together. At some point, I dozed off on the drive. Dad lightly tapped me on the shoulder, waking me. We were parked in a gravel lot, in front of an old yellow building. A sign was out front, poorly kept, which read, Pine Valley Splunking Community. The building was dark, the sun was barely rising. We had a couple more hours before they opened. Dad cracked the window, letting in the soft breeze. As he sipped his coffee, I closed my eyes for some much-needed rest before the trip. The rising sun was a beautiful alarm clock. As I rubbed the sleep from my eyes, Dad dropped my caving helmet on my lap and headed out the door in a hurry. As my vision cleared, I could see he was talking to a man that had just pulled up in a dirty green Jeep. Dad looked over his shoulders. He seemed strange. He reached into his pocket and handed the man something, who placed it in his rear pocket. I stumbled out of the car, helmet in hand, as Dad waved me over. The three of us headed inside the building. The man in the Jeep was named Carl. He was about 60-something years old, lots of loose skin on his face and stringy grey hair that fell down his face. He shook my hand with a dainty squeeze before leading us to a table with a worn-out map. Carl unfolded the map before taking a magnifying glass out of his pocket. Dad watched intently as Carl traced the tiny path of the map with his stringy finger. "Here's the cave opening," Carl said. "You follow this passage, which ain't too difficult. Figure your boy here could do it blindfolded. Continue along the path. You should be down on your belly most of the way, but nothing too crazy. It'll lead to a tiny opening. Should be able to crouch and turn if you had to. Once you're in the opening, look down for the next passage. This one's gonna get a little narrower." As Carl explained the route to us, Dad seemed nervous, biting his lip the entire time Carl was speaking. I tried to follow along as best I could, but hoped Dad paid more attention. Crawling to the passage and start bending up. We call this spot the scissor, as your body will start bending and almost folds in half. You'll be climbing up into a ledge that will lead you down a long passage with a lot of turns and dead ends. I painted a few red markers every so often, so you should try stick with those if you can. If you reach a dead end, you'll have to crawl backwards back out. This is where I suggest you keep a lot of lights on you. Last guy who got lost down there was struggling for 2 days in the darkness before we found him and got him out. After you make your way through this pass, you'll come to a door. A door? I asked. Carl looked at me with those grey eyes of his. Yes, boy, a door, Carl replied. Don't ask me where it came from. All I know is that some crazy guy went all the way in there hundreds of years ago, chiseled into the rock and mounted a door frame. Now, we got the key here. Made a few copies over the years. Use the key, unlock the door, and you'll be able to fit. Hands up ahead and shimmy through. Weird. Never heard of a door being installed hundreds of feet under the ground. Carl brushed the stringy hair from his face. Once you get through, follow the straight passage. It's gonna feel like it's getting narrow, and that's because it is. I suggest hands out in front and drag yourself forwards. You'll be heading to the first of the birth canals. My mouth dried when he said birth canal. I could feel the sweat pouring down my face. Birth canals. Like the name suggests, are long, extremely narrow passages in cave systems. Now, you're going to feel like you're getting the soul squeezed out of you. Do not panic. The harder you could lodge yourself into the birth canal and get stuck. Remain calm, get through the birth canal, and you find yourself in a wonder of a cave, stalagmites like you've never seen before. Carl handed the map and key to Dad, who folded it in half and put it in his pocket. We headed back to our cars to grab our gear. I triple-checked each light we had, not wanting my worst fear of being stuck in the dark to come to fruition. We had a quick protein bar as Carl herded us into the woods. We hiked deeper into the woods, about 2 miles. Carl trotted ahead, giving us a backwards tour. Lots of junk back there. Old cars, machinery. Finally, we made our way into a clearing next to a rock. This wall must have gone up 200 feet, clear past the treetops. There was a cutout in the wall at the base where lots of loose stones were gathered up. Carl took around the base, clearing leaves around the firmly placed stone. And there it was. A dark hole in the ground, roughly the size for a man to tightly squeeze into. I looked around at the nothingness of the quiet woods around us, wondering how the hell anyone found this tiny hole in the ground and decided to go inside it. While I tried to brush off the nervousness, which Carl made difficult with his erratic behaviours, Dad and I fixed our gear and prepared to head into this void in the ground for a good chunk of the day. It was early, about 8 a.m. The wind blew through the woods, nearly blowing over frail old Carl. "You're not coming with?" I asked Carl. "Not yet, son. I'll be back in a few hours to catch up. Don't worry," Carl replied. Dad headed in first, squeezing my arm. Feet first, he dropped into the dark opening. Landing with a thud, I looked down into the hole, feeling the breath of the cave wash over my face. Dad turned on the light and lit up a tiny area. "Drop your bag down first, I'll catch it." I lowered my bag in and dangled my feet into it. Carl stood back, tipped his hat, and skipped away down the trail. I swallowed the lump and plunged into the darkness. I landed firmly a few feet down. Dad was close by. The cave entrance was about 20 feet in diameter. Dad and I got our gear ready and scanned the areas. We were looking for a little opening in the floor, one you'd never think of a person fitting through. Dad found it first. He dropped to his knees and inspected the entrance. "Ready to do this?" he asked. I shook my head and we bumped helmets. Dad led the way. He squeezed himself into a tiny opening at the base. His torso disappeared in, while his feet stuck out like he had flew face first into the wall. Inch by inch, his legs went in further until he was gone. I waited a few minutes, not wanting to get kicked in the face by him squirming before heading in. The breath of the cave was strong, sounding like it was coming from a different passage. I felt an eerie feeling just waiting there. I must have zoned out as Dad was calling me to come in. I raced toward the entrance and stuck my head in. Pressed nearly sideways, I inched my body in, one arm forward and the other to my side. I dragged myself further into the passage, not able to turn my head enough to see Dad. We called out to each other, making sure each of us was doing okay. Farther and farther we navigated this passage. Little crevices in the wall revealed spiders of disproportionate sizes. Before I could get a good look, they would scurry off. After what felt like hours, I heard Dad grunting. He pulled himself out of the passageway. He called to me to hurry up. We must have been at the first opening. I shimmied harder when a hand grabbed me. Dad pulled my arm slowly, helping me out of the passage. We were covered in mud and dirt, and probably rat poop. We were crouched in a tiny opening, our helmets clanking onto the walls. We inspected the opening, looking for another tiny passage that would lead to the scissor. The scissor opening looked even more impossible than the entrance. This cave was already proving to be more difficult than originally thought. My arms were already burning from the miles of dragging we had just done. Dad went in first, his torso slipped in. He slowly started bending his body upwards, his grunting sounding painful. Soon, his legs were bending up. Dad called out, "I'm basically standing now. I can see where we have to go. Better limber up for this part." Dad grunted once again, where he was pulling himself up and into the next passage. Dad called out that he cleared it after some time. Now it was my turn. I went head first into the scissor, as far as my body would take me. As my head clanked against the wall in front of me, I pressed my hands into the ground and pushed my body up. I felt my back crack as it folded in half. Inch by inch, my back folded, till I was able to slide my legs in and stand up. My back was scraped by the sharp rock walls. Now I was standing, wedged between two rocks, with no way, it seems, to get out without going forward. The claustrophobia was starting to set in. I had nowhere to go except up. I reached up high, on my tippy toes, until I grabbed a ledge. I slowly pulled myself up the ledge, which opened up thankfully a bit more. I dragged my body up and looked down the shaft of a long passageway. Dad was far up ahead. The passageway started getting tighter. I noticed the red painted blocks on the wall. Must be the ones from Carl. Dad was making progress up ahead. He wasn't calling back to me. It looked like he was miles ahead of me at times, but when I looked back at him, he was only a few feet in front of me. We twisted and turned through the dark, trying to follow the red blocks. After one turn down a passage, Dad called out, "Stop!" "What?" I replied, nearly out of breath. "Dead end. We gotta turn back." Okay, I called, feeling my hand shaking. And now a backtrack the way we came in, reversed. I started pulling myself backwards, unable to see where I was going. Dad's shoes were right in front of me, which gave me some comfort. Down in the caves, your mind starts playing tricks on you. Deja vu sweeps over you. Every little knock in the rock looks the same. It feels like you're swimming against the current, making no progress. As we backtracked more, my feet slammed into a wall behind me. "Stop!" I screamed. "We have to go left," Dad replied, pulling himself further into the passage. I took a minute to breathe, unable to reach back and grab a water. My mouth was deathly dry, feeling like it was lost in the desert. I rested my heavy head on my arm, which was quickly falling asleep, wondering why the hell I do these things. As I picked my head up, Dad was nowhere to be seen. "Dad?" I called out, hearing my voice echo through the three passageways ahead of me. Three options before me, like forks in the road. We just came from the far right one. Dad must have gone down the middle one. I called out again, but to no avail. I heard a scurrying behind me, like something was racing down the passage. I quickly squirmed into the middle passage, hoping Dad was up ahead. This passage I was heading down was growing increasingly more difficult. Each obstacle proved to be an undertaking that physically and mentally slowed me down. I felt as if I was hearing running water somewhere further ahead. Carl mentioned nothing about water. The dirt below me was growing softer and wet. I squirmed through tight squeezes, calling out to my dad, but to no avail. My worst fears were coming to life. Terrible thoughts of my father being hurt intruded into my head. I desperately tried to shake them. As my thoughts raced, the flickering of my helmet light snapped me back to reality. There was nothing more unnerving than being in pitch black darkness, not a sound to be heard, wedged between unmovable rocks. My stomach nearly dropped outside of my body when my light went out. What had to be only really a few moments, but felt like an eternity. I smacked my headlight and it flicked back on. I crawled forwards once again, feeling my heart beating through my chest but pressing hard into the ground. My back ached fiercely, trying hard to stretch it, only to be blocked by the rock above me. That squeezing feeling was really setting in, like I was crawling deeper and further into a narrow passageway, only to find a dead end and unable to crawl back out. I moved through a wider squeeze that brought me further down in elevation. A faint smell started to linger in the air. My voice was growing coarse as my calls to my father were falling on deaf ears. I could not figure out how we got so turned around in such a short amount of time. The smell in the air was growing stronger, like wet feces. A tiny squealing and scratching started to rumble around me. I pressed forward, trying to catch my breath in this narrow passage, my arms fully numb from being squeezed into my side. The squealing grew louder with each inch I was making. More and more, I heard them moving. I was able to maneuver my head forward, only to light up with my helmet a horrifying mass of creatures. A mass of rats lay before me, crawling all over each other, huddled together. The squealing sounds they made as they started crawling closer to the light of my helmet. I let out a yelp, desperately calling for my dad as I started shimmying backwards. The rats pressed up against me, squirming their way, trying to get past me. I pressed my face into the mud, hoping they would pass quick. They came in waves, feeling their tiny feet and whiskers up against me. As the initial wave passed, I frantically started shimmying backwards out of their den. The rats eventually thinned out and I lost sight of them. While I frantically backpedaled out of their den, the toll of poor maneuvering through the passages left its marks on my body. My suit was torn in a few spots, where my skin was rubbed raw and bleeding in some areas. I somehow made my way to the fork in the cave when I started hearing movements behind me. With enough space in this area, I bent my body in such a way that I was able to fully turn around. My light shined down the initial tunnel we had originally came from. I prayed it was Carl, coming to show us the way out of here. As the sound grew stronger, my father emerged from the darkness. "Dad?" I called out, utterly confused. "Boy, am I happy as hell to see you," Dad replied, nearly out of breath. "How the hell did you get behind me?" I asked. Dad stopped for a minute. His head was beading with sweat, as was mine. The cave system let out a long breath as a cool wind blew past us. "I'm not sure what the hell is going on here, son. I can't seem to get us to the birth canal." "Well, we know the right passage is no good. I just came from the middle one, which was a dead end. A nest of rats met me right at the end," I shakily replied. "You came from the middle one? Are you sure about that?" Dad questioned. I scoffed back. "Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No way in hell I'm going back down there either." "Son, I went down the middle passage," Dad replied in a monotone voice. "Well, how did you get behind me then?" My mind was really playing tricks on me at this point. I couldn't even tell you which way was up. Dad wiped the dirt from his pale face. "I can't explain it either, Henry. All I know is that we can turn back around here and call it quits, or try the left passage, see if we can make it to the birth canal and into the cavern that Carl said is so magnificent and complete our route." Dad made that second option sound a bit more desirable. Besides, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We only had one passage before us. I guess it was our bad luck that we chose the incorrect passages the first time round. So, we agreed to press forward towards the left passage, with me leading the way. I pressed forth into the passage, making sure to keep Dad close this time around. We tried making small talk through the passage, but it felt as if both of us were just keeping focused and pressing forward. We must have crawled for about 30 minutes at that point, with no end in sight. I figured it was a good thing that we didn't hit a dead end yet. "Dad, there's something up ahead," I called out. What is it?" he replied nervously. "It's a door," I said, nearly out of breath. "Thank God," Dad replied. "Here, I'll pass you the key." The door before me looked as if it belonged on a dollhouse. The passage we were in was nearly suffocating as it is. To now crawl through this door and into the birth canal was starting to ramp up my dormant claustrophobia. Dad was able to toss me the key. I pushed the key into the old lock and pressed hard. The door was tough to open. The ancient-looking wood cracked open. A stench from the new passage blew right into us, sending us into a coughing fit. I went in, arms forward, trying to grab onto something up ahead. Dad was pushing my legs forward as I squeezed through the door. I felt the hardwood scrape against my back, crushing my ribs with each inch. Dad grabbed my leg as I moved forward, helping him drag himself through it. Dad let out equally painful screams. He was a larger guy than I was, so for him to get through that door must have hurt something fierce. What the door led us into was not any more inviting. Immediately, the passage before us was narrowed into seemingly impossible widths. "This must be the birth canal," I called out to Dad. I wriggled into this narrow passage, feeling the pressure immediately all around me. I struggled to move even a centimeter. Each breath I took wedged me harder into the rock wall. I was unable to move. Dad struggled just as much, taking extreme effort to move mere centimeters. I couldn't press on any further. I felt stuck. "Dad," I cried out, feeling tears bubble in my eyes. "I can't move." "I'm struggling back here too, bud. I think it may be too narrow for us to go any further," Dad said, somehow remaining calm. Dad started crawling backwards, pulling at my leg, trying to loosen me up. I wasn't budging. I began to wail, hearing my screams echo around me, frantically kicking and squirming, trying to get out. Dad tried to calm me down, telling me to relax. But all I could think about was being trapped down here for so long, unable to be freed by help, and that this cave would be my final resting place, a tomb to be sealed in. After what felt like time ceasing to move, unable to move from the rocks which surrounded me, Dad decided he needed to go get help. Slowly, he backed his way up, leaving me alone in the cavern. I tried to remain as calm as I could, struggling to gain an inch or so back out the way I came. My body was going numb. All I could think about was dying in this cold, wet passageway where rescuers wouldn't be able to reach my body. I figured it would be a few hours before Dad would get out of the cave, get help, then bring them where I was. My head felt heavy, like I clanked it hard against the floor. The fluid inside my skull was sloshing around. "Your mind starts playing tricks on you down here. There are no sounds. Your chest breathing sounds like an explosion." With each deep breath, I could feel myself getting wedged harder into the rocks. I tried to rest, but my mind kept racing back to images of rats burying themselves into me, gnawing away at my face while I'm trapped, unable to fight back. Every so often, I'd hear a little scurrying sound, or the sound of water somewhere far off ahead of me. What lay before me, as far as my light would go, was more darkness. A cold breeze would bellow into me, giving me some sense of relief that the outside world couldn't be that far away. I heard them coming after some time. It must have been hours since I last saw Dad. I heard clanging, like equipment rattling along the walls of the cave, echoing down into my chamber. I cried out, banging my helmet against the wall. The clanging grew louder. Then I heard their voices. There was a woman. She was calling my name, followed by the voices of other men. I cried out to them, begging for help. I felt something wrap around my ankles tight, then a cranking sound began. The pressure on my numb legs felt fierce as the cranking continued. Slowly, I inched backwards out of the cavern, my body dragging against the rocks. I felt like a cork being pulled from a wine bottle. With the final pop, I was able to move more freely as I was freed. I wept the entire way back out. My worst fears had come to life and I escaped. I couldn't wait to see Dad. I stuck with the guide the entire way out. Her name was Rachel and she seemed like an experienced rescuer. Focused, I was intent on escaping from this nightmare cave. As we navigated out of the cave, mostly backwards, I could start feeling a stronger breeze coming. Soon, the light of day began to pierce through. Not much light left. It was nearly dusk. We had spent the majority of the day lost in the cave. As I emerged from the cave, I called out to Dad. There were responder cars everywhere, bright lights and their alarms blaring. A lone ambulance was parked off to the side. I felt my heart sink as I saw a man on the gurney. I raced over, my legs feeling like jelly. I was covered in mud and filth as I crashed into the paramedics. My dad lay in the gurney. He was bruised and cut badly. Long gashes ran down his chest and face, like he had been clawed by a bear. His left eye was gouged out. I wept as they lifted him into the van. I sat in the back with him while they pumped him with IVs. Blood seeped from his lips with each movement. Unable to speak, he weakly reached into his pocket. Trembling, he brought his hand to mine, his eye beginning to close. His palm outstretched, revealing a dirty yellow tooth. Sharp. Sharp as a shark's tooth, with dark red stains on it. I grabbed the tooth from Dad's cold hand as the heart rate monitor flatlined. I lost my dad that day. All I have left of him is a tooth from some creature that I believed killed him. The tooth is nothing like I've seen before. It curves like a dagger, just as sharp with ridges along the length. I can only imagine hundreds of these sinking into Dad as he struggled to get out of the cave. I vowed never to go back to that cave. But here I am, 1 year later. The tooth is in my pocket, where it has been since the day Dad died. I am standing in front of the cave once again, not having been in one since my last trip here. There are old ropes and signs barring people from going in, citing the deathly risks ahead. I am ready to go in, ready to never leave again, and ready to find whatever the hell killed my father.
Kann eine Karriere neugierig sein? Komm zu EY und erlebe es selbst. Arbeite an spannenden Projekten, gestalte die Wirtschaft von morgen und entwickle dich auch selbst weiter. Im Team Assurance, Tax, Consulting oder EY Parthenon, Strategy and Transactions. Shape your future with confidence. Jetzt bewerben auf jobsgermany.ey.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.